Matthew 16. Let's read verse 24 through 28. It says, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Let's pray. And thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be able to stand in front of these people and preach. Pray that you would guide my lips, and maybe there's something in here you don't want said. And if that's the case, I pray that you would just not let my eyes see it. And I pray that you would be with these people here tonight. I pray that you give them something that they need right where they live, and that we'd be able to draw closer to you tonight, and not just in an emotional state, but be able to truly draw closer to you. And I pray that you would guide us here tonight. Be with Pastor as he's away at Brother Friesen's church. Pray that you would bless him there, and thank you for him. Pray you get him back to us safely, and thank you for all the safety and traveling that you've given us lately with my parents and the hazards and Stacy and everything. I pray that you just continue to bless in that. I pray that we wouldn't take it for granted. Pray that you be with us here, that your hand would be on this message, and that it would land in the hearts that you would want it to. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So a familiar passage, as is always said when I preach. But Matthew 16:24, it talks about a cross. It talks about a cross that is not spoken in any modern-day church or in any modern-day preacher this day and age. Joel Osteen will not go to verse 24 and 25 and talk about the cross that you're supposed to deny, take up your cross, and follow him. But in fact, the biblical way to follow him is to take up that cross. And Jesus Christ bore his cross, and we don't thank God we don't have to bear that cross, because we are not going to, if you're saved, you're not going to hell, so you'll never have to bear that. But there is a cross for every Christian, and whether or not you carry it is up to you, but the fact doesn't, you can't deny the fact that there is a cross. And you know, not every cross is the same, and there's different types of crosses, but they all have similarities. And I want to talk about the cross that we are to bear up. Take up your cross. And these are just some facts about your Christian life and about that cross that you're to bear. That no matter how different your cross is, all these tonight that we're going to talk about is across the board. These are some definitions and some facts about the cross you're to bear. The first thing I can say about this is that it's a daily cross. Look at Luke 9. This is pretty common. You all know this, so this is nothing new, but Luke 9, verse 23, it says, And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take his cross daily, and follow me. What athlete doesn't know that if he's going to succeed and be the champion, that it's not a daily task? I mean, you may like running and you may like basketball, but if you don't practice if you don't make it your daily goal, you're not going to achieve much, which is why none of us are in the NBA today, because none of us, that's not our devotion, and it's not what we commit ourselves to. You can't expect to eat donuts all week and then go out on Saturday and be the fastest runner on the field. It's a daily task, and you know it's a daily task when you go through revival meeting and then Monday morning shows up. Because all the victories that you've put under the blood face you when you look in the mirror on Monday morning. And no matter what you do, you can weep and cry and get right on Sunday night, and you should, but Monday morning, your cross is still there. You still got to pick it up. Romans says, Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And when you put something on, you don't get changed once, and then you're good for the week. You change every single day, every morning. You've got to, every morning I put on my work clothes. I don't sleep in them. I change out of them, I have to get back into it. And no matter how clean you are the night before, you walk around this world and you're going to have to get back on that, underneath that cross and bear it. It says we're supposed to, in verse 23 there, and take up his cross daily and follow me. Who doesn't know that's in a relationship, that a relationship is a daily, it's a daily relationship. Even when my wife and I were dating, there wasn't a day that went by that there wasn't some form of communication that went on. Whether it's just sometimes we couldn't talk, and sometimes just a text or something. And but there is, it's a daily thing. You don't just talk to her once in a while. It's not much of a relationship. And same with the Christian life is when you have that cross you're supposed to bear under, it's a daily, I don't want to call it a grind, but you've got to get your shoulder underneath that cross and lift it up every single day, no matter no matter how many times you picked it up in the past. It's today is a new day, and which is good in the fact of today you don't have the sins of yesterday. It's start over, it's a new day, but you also don't have the victories of yesterday. You got to forget those things that are behind, and you got to press forward, because every day is a new day, good and bad. I mean, imagine if you just showered once a day or ate once a day. I'm sorry, once a week. You should shower once a day. Imagine if you just showered once a week or once a month. Or what if you blew that illustration? Or just ate once a week or drank water once a week. You'd die. You need to do it daily. And this is the part that is not fun, is the fact that I'm not talking about you need to rejoice in the Lord daily. This is picking up your cross. This is something that's hard that you're not going to want to do. Your flesh is going to deny it. That's why it says you're supposed to deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. It's a daily task. And as you can imagine, second thing I want to say is it's hard work. Bearing a cross is some strenuous, heavy lifting. Luke 9:62 it says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." If you're in that plow, that's, well, once again, that's some hard work right there, is you're supposed to be looking forward to Jesus Christ. And if you look back, and when you look back, your progression, your momentum slows down, and a lot of times when you look back, you end up stopping. It says, look, if you do that, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. And it's hard work. Plowing is hard work. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Turn to 1 Corinthians. And anyone that's been in the Christian life a while knows this, and people in this room know it firsthand more than I do, just for the fact of they've been in the fight longer and they realize that how much of a fight it really is. But 1 Corinthians 9:24, this is Paul, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep my body under, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." He likens the Christian fight to running and fighting. Now, I don't like running. I do it sometimes, but I mean, I do this just for the benefit to get out of. I don't just like to go run. Now, you may like fighting. I could get into fighting. You know, I get it. It's a man thing. Women, you're not going to understand it, but I can get fighting. But as far as a daily fight, though, I mean, yeah, okay, when you get together, you want to show guys how tough you are and you wrestle, but I don't want to do that every day. True fighters, that is a discipline. It's not just let's go jog a couple miles. It's no, you're gonna have to work out 6-8 hours a day. You're gonna have to watch what you have to do all this stuff. It's a constant daily battle, and whatever else can be said about other sports, it's hard work. You're not gonna be able to achieve the things that you want to achieve unless you put in the hard work. Christ's cross, I looked it up, and the old Roman crosses, they weighed anywhere from 100 to 300 pounds. Once you set them in the ground, they are about 300 pounds. And they said that even if they didn't have them carry the full weight of the cross, a lot of times they would have them just carry the beam. So at a minimum, he's carrying 100 pounds on his back, maybe as much as 300 pounds. And if you go through and see how far he had to carry that up to Golgotha, it's over a quarter of a mile. It's 2,000 feet. Talk about some hard work. I mean, you see these guys, these football players pushing that thing, that tank across 100 yards. I mean, that's kid stuff. I mean, have half your blood streaming out and you have no energy, you're dehydrated, your back has been scourged, you're beyond recognition, and then you have to carry across over a quarter mile, over 100 pounds, probably more like 150, 200 pounds, over a quarter mile. Whatever else can be said, that's hard work. And for you and your cross, if you're going to lift it up, it's not some dainty little plastic cross. It's a heavy wooden cross, and it's going to have you. There's a chance you can get splinters on it, but it's hard work. And that's why the cross gets left down and people don't pick it up. There's an open field of crosses that Christians have let go, and many of them don't even realize it's there. It's not preached anymore. And if you go through your life and you never heard about the cross of Christ, you're not living, I'm just going to say, you're not living the Christian life unless you're bearing up underneath that cross. Thirdly, I also want to say this is in reference to, if you think about a physical cross, let me back up a second. Know those things in life that are really hard to carry by yourself, like a mattress. A mattress is just awkward. I don't care who you are. I mean, it's heavy, but, or Trex boards. You got those long deck boards. Those things are awkward. I mean, you normally tip something up so that it doesn't flop. Well, then it's wobbling this way, and so then you tip it this way, and it's wobbling this way. I laugh because Pete and Jake were helping us. I say helping us. They were hauling. We were building. That's how things work around our business. But they were hauling, and, you know, you get there, and Jake's in basketball, so he's fit, you know, and he's getting out there. He's like, all right, he's got, like, two on there, and of course, it's, like, bouncing like crazy. They're 20-foot boards, and and by the end of the day, he's going. He's just dragging them, but just as much as he can. And it's downhill too, so it just looks funny, just one at a time. You just exhaust. And of course, I pick on him because he's not here. But they're just funny. But it's not only hard work, but the cross is also, if you think about a cross, that has got to be one awkward piece of wood to try to lug around. I mean, it's not straight. You've got the way they normally depict it, and I think this is probably true, is you've got the long pole going vertical and then the horizontal, and you're probably under that L right there, and you're kind of anchored in there. Well, if you're doing that, there's a long 40-pound piece of wood sticking straight up, and you're trying to balance that thing. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. You know, Paul says that he says, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. And so when you're carrying that cross, it's associated with something that's shameful. It's awkward. It's hard. It's something that most people, when you look at it, it's not appealing. And 1 Corinthians 1:18, I'll just read it because I'm there. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know what's not going to get it done is the glass pulpit smile type preaching. What is going to get it done is someone getting underneath that cross, lifting it up with hard work. It's uncomfortable, it's shameful, and just bearing a cross. That's what gets the work done. And I would say one of the main reasons is the people don't pick up their cross, not only hard work, which is true, but also this fact right here is that if there's anything that man hates, it's being thought of as a fool. No one wants, I don't care if you're not an intellect or if you don't care about people being smart, no one likes to be looked like a fool. And everyone wants to lift their flesh up. It's just natural. That's the way the flesh works. No wonder why the Bible says, let him deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. It's because when you get under that cross, there's nothing flattering about it. And it's just going to be some hard, people may look at that as a shameful way, and I'm going to get to that later on, but it's uncomfortable, and it's awkward, and it's shameful, and there's nothing appealing to the human eye about picking up that cross and moving forward. But Hebrews 13:13 says, "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." And if you're going to find Christ, he's not going to be in the camp. He's going to be outside the camp. And it's funny, it says bearing his reproach, like you bear a cross. And it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be awkward. You're not going to want to do it. Your flesh is going to fight you every bit of the way. And I've already made reference to it, but the part of the Christian life I get tired of is the one I meet in the mirror every morning. Because, you know, you may have knocked him out with a shovel yesterday, but he woke up nice and healthy this morning. And you've got to knock him out again and put him down and deny him and say, no, we're going to pick up this cross and we're going to move forward. No matter how radical it may look. And that moves me to my next point, is that when you pick up that cross, you will always receive ridicule. They mocked and ridiculed Jesus Christ as he went by. And I've heard this said, it's a good quote from a speech. It says, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done him them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows the great enthusiasm, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place will never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat." And if you're ridiculing someone else, I know one thing about you, you're not bearing your cross. If you're always looking at someone else's, how they could have done it better and how that preacher could have preached it better, and that that Sunday school, I would have said this, I know one thing, you're not bearing your cross. Because someone who is underneath that and bearing that load doesn't have time to look around. And in fact, I just thought of this now, but that cross is blocking half of your view, so you can't see what your brother's doing. You're not supposed to be occupied with that. But if you are the person underneath the cross, I expect ridicule. I always think it's funny how Christians come up to us street preaching, and they're the ones that ridicule us. And, you know, you get the lost people, and I understand that, because that must look pretty radical if you don't know what we're doing, but the Christians are the ones, a lot of times, that'll come up to you and mock you or ridicule you, and it's not woe is me, it's just the way it is. But you know, I've heard, I think it was Brother Jensen was telling me a story about a guy who, you know, he was street preaching, and this guy says, "Well, that's not the way you do it." So he pulled two ladies over, he said, "This guy wants to show you how to do it." And so he's like, "No, I didn't mean that. Like, not that I know how to do that." He's like, "Yeah, you just leave me alone. I'm going to keep preaching." And the fact is, the people that ridicule you, it's not that they have a better idea of how to do it. They just think what you're doing is too radical. The fact is that if you bear up your cross, you're going to receive some ridicule. You need to expect it. I'm going to take a drink of water, because this next point is not fun to preach. It's not that bad. Something else about a cross, though, if you're going to bear it, something you have to understand is that it's going to be slow. It is not going to be a 50-yard dash. It's not going to be, 5 years and you're done. I mean, this is a lifetime task. If you're bearing something, if you're going to go from here to the back of that building and you're racing someone, one of the last things you would want to do is put a 150-pound piece of lumber on your back and start running. It's just naturally going to slow you down. And you're going to wear out if you try to go too fast. I think the Lord does that on purpose, though. I think a lot of problems are people running ahead of God's plan, and they run too fast, and God's not ready for that. And, you know, God could be ready, but as far as His timing, that's not His plan for you. He says, no, if you bear this cross, you'll be right where you need to be at the right time. Instead of getting ahead of God and trying to force things, you bear your cross, you're going to be exactly where you're supposed to be at exactly the right time. Isn't it ironic that the last word recorded in red letters, if you guys have a red letter edition, the last word in your Bible is quickly, and it refers to 2,000 years. That's an anomaly to me. Imagine if I was, okay, say it's 2 days, because to the Lord it's 2 days. Say I go up, we live in a third story apartment, and say I was like, oh man, I forgot something. I'll be right back real quick. 2 days later, my wife is, where were you the last 2 days? Oh, I said I'd be back quickly. Well, that's the Lord. I mean, it's been 2 days. He said, it's kind of like, oh yeah, I'll see you in a little bit. And 2 days go by. And for our case, 2,000 years. And if you're not careful, you're going to try to get ahead of God. And he says, nope, you can't get ahead of me if you're bearing that cross. You need to get under that. It'll slow you down. I think that's one of the reasons why he has us bear that cross, is just to slow us down and not get ahead of him. Much trouble is caused in the Bride of Christ in frustrated ambition. Is people get so zealous, which is a good thing, but they do it in a way to where they get on fire and they just want to go, and they go before they're ready, and they go before God's ready for them, and they go ahead and they don't want to bear the cross, so they just go and sprint, and then they burn out, and God's looking at them like, you forgot the cross, we're way back here, and this cross would have kept you slow and steady. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. You got to slow and steady. And to many people that go ahead of God, like I said, it's just because you're not bearing, you can't get ahead of God if you're bearing your cross. It's going to slow you down. Every pastor, missionary, evangelist, anyone quote unquote successful doing something for the Lord has learned to be patient and wait on God. And that's one thing I admire about pastors, is that here you've got, say you've got a problem in church. And for me, if I have a problem, I want to go to it immediately, choke hold it to death, and just be done with it. I don't want it mulling in the back of my mind for the next 4 days. And you know, I've seen pastors and a lot of other people do that are in the ministry, is they'll just sit on it and wait. Lord brings something else across and just kind of smooths it over. Man, if you would have gotten in there and tried to do something yourself and put down the cross and just taken care of it, you probably would have made a mess of things. But you got to just stay your course. It's your cross. You need to bear it. And let the Lord do His work. I looked it up, that the phrase wait on the Lord, and there's other phraseologies of this concept of waiting on the Lord, but the actual phrase wait on the Lord appears 3 times in the Bible. Proverbs 20:22 says, if you wait on the Lord, He'll save you. Psalm 27:14 says, if you wait on the Lord, He'll strengthen you. And then Psalm 37:34 says, He'll exalt you. And that's just a sermon idea, so you guys might hear that in a couple months. But you're supposed to wait on the Lord, and He will renew your strength. In Isaiah it says that you'll mount up with wings as eagles, but you have to wait on the Lord. I could not imagine being Moses in the Old Testament. I would be really depressed if I was Moses, because here you are, you're 40 years old, and normally by that time most people are being used by God, and in his zeal he puts down his cross, runs ahead of God, kills the Egyptian, and now he has to wait twice his age, or another, once again, as many times as his age, 40 more years before God's ready to use him. 80 years old. And then that's 2/3 of his life are already gone. And then God says, okay, now I can use you. 80 years? 40 years because I killed a man, which, okay, murder is a bad thing. I mean, I understand that. But still, 40 years. I was ready 40 years ago. You know what he had to do? He had to go back where that cross was, pick it up, and it was a daily grind of feeding sheep and being on the backside of the desert. And to him, dude, just doing nothing, just living life. And 40 years later, he sees the burning bush and he says, yep, I'm ready for you now. But he had to learn to wait. And there's someone I know that was called to preach when he was young. I'm saying like 8, 10, 11, 12 or so. And he was doing how we let kids preach once in a while, and like now. And when he was like 12 years old or whatever, and he, in his preaching, they recorded it, he said, man, I ever get away from God, he's kind of praying out loud to them, he's like, God, I want you to smite me until I get right with God. And this, and he's probably 35 or so now, and he never went to preach, and he put down his cross, and the Lord has smitten him real bad. He's going through it. And you know what's laying back there about 100 yards is an old rugged cross that he's supposed to go back and pick up. And you say, would the cross still be there? Yeah, the cross would still be there. The Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And you guys are taught well in this church about the word repentance. It's not just repent of your sins and be sorry for them. It's a change of mind. You got to turn around. And God says, look, I've got this calling. I've got this gift that I've laid on you. And no matter how far you stray from it, if you're willing to come back and pick that cross up, the calling's still going to be there. And what I know about that man is that if he were to deny his flesh long enough to be able to turn around, get back under that cross and pick it up, the calling of God would still be on his life. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God doesn't repent for having called anyone. Now, there's many people that are in the bars tonight, I'm sure, that are called to preach. You said, no way. Yeah, God probably called them 20, 30 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. But they said, no, that cross is too heavy. There's going to be splinters from it. And they put it down and just kept walking. And part of that is the fact that they didn't want to set through and learn and bear under that. And they're going to be slowed down by that cross. And also, having said that, if you go through, if you're at a certain pivotal point and you just, you're tired, I get it. The Christian life, it can wear you out. And the Lord's putting something on you, putting some pressure on you, that cross is getting heavy, you finally just drop it. And then you just keep walking. You know what? If you drop that cross and 5-10 years later, you want to pick up that cross is going to be exactly where you laid it down. If God has put something on your heart and you said, I want you to do this right here, or I want you to quit doing this, and you say, I'm going to skip around that, well, you just put your cross down. Look, if you try 10, 15 years down the road and you want to do something else for God, he's going to say, no, you got to go back to where that cross was. You need to pick it up. And so many people want to derail off the tracks, and they see something down the road that looks scary to them, and so they put their cross down. God says, I'm not going to use you. I mean, you may look like you're doing something for me, but as far as truly being used and exactly what I want you to do, you've got to go back to where you put that cross down. You've got to pick it back up. That cross isn't moving unless you get under it and move it. And you need to bear it. And all that was negative. So now, the next 2 minutes, no. But you say, well, why? All this stuff is true. Why should I bear my cross? You're depressing me here tonight. You know, you're saying how hard it is, and it is hard work, and it's awkward, and it's going to slow you down. If you were to carry a cross, I'm talking physically, if you were to carry a cross for the next year, say everywhere you went, you bore a cross, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be one of the strongest people in this church. You are going to be built up, and it'll strengthen you. Bearing that cross will strengthen you. Say, I don't want to be strengthened that way. Well, 550,000 people per month Google how to lose weight. That's pretty pathetic that people don't know how to lose weight. And but no matter what, it's the day and age we live in, I guess. No matter what website you go to, no matter what book you pick up, you know what every one of them is going to say. They may not say this, but it's going to be hard. You're not just going to eat donuts and then drop 20 pounds. I say donuts. I love donuts. That's why I keep saying them tonight. Can we get donuts afterwards, hon? But it's going to, that hard effort. Who goes into a gym, and I hate how they have, now they have like air conditioning, literally like right there on the bike or whatever you're doing, they have air conditioning to make it easier. No, I'm there to sweat. This is supposed to be hard. A guy doesn't go to the gym and expect to be in a lawn chair. You say you expect some resistance. That's the whole point. Any type of exercise, no matter what type, it has one part of it, there's a moment of resistance, whether it's running, lifting weights, all of them, if there's no resistance, it's not a workout. You're not going to build any muscle. You're not going to get in shape. Well, same with the Christian life. If you don't feel that resistance, if you're just going through ease, you're going to be a pot-bellied Christian. You're not going to be fit to do what the Lord has you to do. And why is it that we go, people go to the gym, I say we like I go, why do people go to the gym and put so much effort physically and say, well, yeah, because I want this result and this is the only way I can get fit. And the Christians sit on their backside, don't do anything, and they think they're some great outstanding Christian. Well, you've got to get some resistance and you've got to put up a fight if you're going to get strengthened. That's the only way you can do it, is to push through that resistance that's there, and it'll strengthen you. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And unlike this world, when they strive, like Paul says, he said, they strive for mastery, they do it for temporal, but we do it for something eternal, something that's going to last. And he says, you know, when you're passing off those tracks and you're witnessing to your lost family and you don't see results, he says, don't worry, your labor is not in vain. It's not, I haven't overlooked what you're doing. I see that you're trying. And no matter what you're trying to do as far as Christian walk, there will be no strengthening without resistance. Whether it's ridicule, whether it's your own flesh, you need to expect it. But bearing your cross, it will strengthen you. Because down the road, you know as well as I do, that there's going to be a time where you're need to going to be spiritually fit enough to bear underneath something that God has put on you. I've often thought of people all of a sudden hit this trial, and it seems like it's more than they can bear. And I understand no matter how much you bear the cross, there's going to be moments like that. But I think the reason why people get under the smallest, just the smallest things that should not bother them, and they just feel like the whole world is on their shoulders. Well, if you've never lifted a 5-pound weight in your life, and I give you a 10-pound weight, it's going to feel like 1,000 pounds. But if you've been bearing your cross, and you've been doing what you're supposed to be doing, that weight that the Lord puts on you doesn't feel so bad. You'll be able to push through more. And people lay that cross down, they don't want to bear it, and so finally the Lord says, here's something for you to bear, and they just buckle underneath it and they fall. And then, well, if you would have been carrying this cross, you would have been able to take this next step. And once again, it's going back to, well, then you've got to start from where you put that cross down. And like I said, that cross will not leave, it'll stay right there. Here's something else, is that we read back in Matthew 16:24, it says that take up your cross, and there's a couple other spots that say this, but they all say take your cross and follow me. And if you bear your cross, you're gonna draw closer to Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy, let's turn there real quick. 2 Timothy 2:9. Bearing your cross is going to draw you closer to God. 2 Timothy 2:9 says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. But verse 12, if we suffer with him, we're going to reign with him. You know, if you don't suffer with him, there's no reign. No suffer, then no reign. No cross, then there will be no crown. Here's something to think about from a literal, like if you're a visual person like I am, this may help you, is that if you think about the way Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross, if he's hanging right here, and if you imagine the cross, vertical piece here, horizontal piece here, when someone's bearing that cross, you've got basically, here's where the body of Christ would have been, here's where the arms would have been, and your head is right here. That's exactly where the heart of Jesus Christ was. Your head when you're carrying that cross, Jesus Christ was right there. And the more you buckle underneath that thing and the more pain, you're going to hear the heart of God. And he's going to say, it's all right, I've been through this. You can make it through. It's bearable. And the closer, the more you get underneath that cross and lift it up, you're going to be right there by the heart of God. And he's going to show you things out of his word that you probably wouldn't see otherwise. And he's going to be able to speak through you, to you through preaching or through counsel or through a Bible verse that you read if you're bearing your cross. Because otherwise your head and your ear is not right next to where the heart of God was. And so maybe that encourages, remember that when you're bearing that cross, remember that's as close as you can get to Christ. Christ was literally in that position, and he's been before you. And we're to look to him, who's the author and finisher of our faith. And last of all, this is quick, but last of all, I do want to say this, is that no matter how heavy your cross is, it is bearable. And I'm thankful that I don't have to bear some of the crosses that a lot of people in here bear. But 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape it, that ye may be able to bear it." It says earlier in that verse, though, he says, not only is it common to man, he will not suffer you to be tempted. And I wonder maybe if that temptation is not necessarily a sinful, lustful, and it is that. But with what we're talking tonight, I wonder if that temptation is just to let that cross slip off your shoulder and just take a breath and move on without it. And he says, there's a temptation out there for you to do that. He said, but I didn't make it more than you could bear. That cross is handmade by your Savior to fit exactly. It's for your height. It's for what you can handle. It's through what you've been through in your life. That cross was made for you, and you're supposed to bear under it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and this will be the last passage here tonight, but Ephesians 6. I want you to concentrate on what we're up against here in Ephesians 6. Verse 11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And you start looking at that list. It says, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And you think, man, that's something to bear. I mean, you got to not only put up with that, but then you got to look yourself in the mirror and put your flesh down. You say, how are you supposed to be able to do that? He said, look, in verse 11, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand." He said, look, I've given you these things so that you can stand. There's a way to do it. There's a whole armor of God that he's given you. He said, look, the reason I gave you these, the reason I gave you that book and the Holy Spirit and the gifts that he's given you, is so that when you get under there, he's given you the strength so that you will be able to bear it. If you put on the whole armor of God, that's what it says in verse 11, that ye may be able to bear it. And I just want to close with this. There's a, obviously this is just an illustration, this didn't happen, but there's a man who went through a field. He saw hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of crosses, and he was getting tired. And he looked up and he saw the Lord standing there. He said, Lord, I'm just tired. I'm beaten down. This cross is too heavy. I don't know why you've given me all these problems. It doesn't seem like anyone else has the problems I have. And the Lord, being a gentleman, said, you know what I'll do is, tell you what, put your cross down, and you see all these hundreds of crosses that other Christians have put down that they thought were too heavy for them too. Tell you what, you have the liberty. You can put your cross down, and you can pick out any one of those crosses. It doesn't, honestly, I'm a gentleman, I'll let you do it. He says, man, this is the deal of my life. He looked around, I was like, I'll easily find something lighter than that old thing. So he's looking around, and he saw some that were pretty bad, some that, you know, weren't too bad. And he's kind of looking over, kind of remembering where the easier ones were. And finally he gets a pile of them, and he's trying to sort through, and he gets 10 of them, and he's thinking, he's like, not that one, not that one. Knocks 5 of them out, he still has 5 left. finally gets down to two crosses that he thinks, these things will be a piece of cake. I mean, I can handle this. And finally looks at one, he says, ah, that one's easy. I can handle that. And he's hoisted on his shoulder and he's walking out. He says, thank you, Lord. And the Lord says, don't you recognize that? He's like, what do you mean? I just picked it up. He said, that's the same cross you came in with. The fact is that we look around at other people's crosses and we say, man, they're not going through half of what I'm going through. The fact is, maybe you wouldn't be able to bear their cross. Maybe the person you're talking about, they probably couldn't bear your cross. That's because that cross wasn't cut out for them. The Lord has you bearing a cross that he doesn't have anyone else bearing. And you may be, and like I said, the Lord has been merciful to me. I'm not going through half the stuff that a lot of people in this church are going through. So maybe I'm not the right one to preach this, but I just know that the Lord says you're going to be able to bear it. He says he'll give you the strength. And like I said, the Lord's been awful good to me because I'm not going through, honestly, I could pick out maybe 10% of you that are going about the same rate as me. Most of you guys are going through a lot more than I am. Lord's been awful good to me. So maybe, like I said, maybe I'm not the right one to preach this, but the cross that the Lord has picked out for you and that he's hand-carved and that he knows is hard, just know he's been through it with you. And when you saddle underneath and you put your shoulder under that cross, remember the heart of God was right there. And your ear will be right next to the heart of God, and he'll guide you through it. So pick up your cross. It's the only way to follow Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the attention.